You know, there's some things that absolutely amaze me. It's amazing to see how beautiful the Central Coast is. You know, when I take a trip down to Los Angeles and you come through the tunnel there and in Gaviota the Pass, and you kind of, you know, go through that tunnel and you start heading up the hill, and I feel like I'm home, right? I mean, you know, I'm still about 40 miles away or so, but that is just amazing, though, to be in the Central Coast, isn't it? It is also amazing to me that Frank McCourt, the owner of the Dodgers, is still holding on to the team. That amazes me as well. It amazes me that Amazing Spider-Man number one, that was 12 cents in 1963, according to Mile High Comics this morning, goes for $26,000 of fine condition. That just amazes me. But I guess what amazes me even more, though, is this. Is that how God can take every part of my life and redeem every situation, every failure, even every sin, and bring about good. That amazes me even more. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning, is that God doesn't allow anything to go to waste in our lives. And we're going to be looking at Romans chapter 8 in verses 28 and 29. And so if you would you please stand with me as we read this portion of Scripture together. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose, for those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to become conformed to the image of His Son. Let's pray. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we come into Your presence this morning thanking You that You are a God that is busy and active and working on our behalf. Lord, we come into this place this morning, Lord, and You know every heart, every situation, Lord, every person that is here. And Lord, You know those of us that are struggling this day, those of us that are hurting. And Lord, I pray especially, Lord, for those that are facing loss, Lord, suffering through some sort of trial. And I pray, God, that in this time that You would bring Your encouragement and Your comfort, Lord Jesus, to each of us. Lord, thank You for being a God who is faithful, a God who keeps His promises. Lord, we love You and we worship You now, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Well, please have a seat. My name is Vince Lamas, and I'm one of the pastors here at our wonderful church family. Pastor Ron will be back next weekend continuing the series on the promises. But today we're going to be looking at the topic that nothing goes to waste in our life. Now, we just read that passage from Romans chapter 8, and it is maybe for some of us our favorite promise in the Bible. Now, as we look at that promise, Romans chapter 8, it says that God causes. Now, this speaks to the fact that God is in sovereign control of our lives. And even in those times when things seem like they're crazy and out of control, the Word of God says that God causes, that God's sovereign work is still in effect. And that God causes all things. And it is amazing to me, again, that God utilizes everything in our lives for our good. Now, certainly this passage is not saying that everything that happens to you and I is good, because certainly there are bad things that happen to us. But what this passage is saying is that God is able to redeem and to pull out from every situation in our life something good, something for His glory and something for our good. It also says that God causes all things to work together, that God is this master weaver, taking all the things of our life and bringing them all together in a pre-planned pattern that He has set for each of us. And then He also says that it's for our good. And that what happens in our life is ultimately for the best for us now and in the future. And again, that does not mean to say, I'm not saying that what takes place in our life is good or pleasant or comfortable, but that God is able to redeem and to allow nothing to go to waste in all of our lives and to bring His good into our life. And so our main point this morning is this, is that God redeems every aspect of our lives for His glory and for our good, and He allows nothing to go to waste. God allows nothing to go to waste in our lives. So whatever has happened, Lord, in our lives this day, Lord, we praise You that You're a God of redemption. Now, some of you are probably familiar with the name Donna Rice. Now, this story is kind of in honor of all the different scandals that have been going on in our political parties, right? I mean, Democrat and Republican. So, but this was back in 1988, and maybe some of you are around then and remember this. But Donna Rice's name hit the tabloids back in 1998 in a highly publicized sexual scandal with former Colorado Senator Gary Hart. And in the aftermath, Hart's bid for the 1988 Democratic nomination was trashed, and so was Rice's reputation. And I looked on that reliable source of information, Wikipedia, and it says that Donna Rice, even at that time, would say that she was a Christian. But she had stopped going to church, though. But it trashed her reputation. Now, Rice disappeared from the public eye, but this article says that she's back, passionately committed to God and to a ministry called Enough is Enough, a Christian organization fighting to keep pornography out of the hands of minors. Thankful for the support of her family and friends and her Christian husband, Jack Hughes, Rice is most thankful for God's work in her life. And this is what she says. God loves us, but He doesn't grant us immunity from the consequences of our choices. However, when we mess up, if we ask His forgiveness, He'll redeem those choices using our mistakes as a door of hope for other people. I have great empathy for victims of sexual abuse and pornography. God has brought purpose to my pain. God redeems every aspect of our life. Donna Rice's, ours, mine, all of us. God is able to do that because God is in sovereign control of our lives. Now, that word sovereign, when I use that word sovereign, you know, I usually think of kind of a king, you know, a sovereign of a nation. And that's what God is. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And He is the one that's in charge. And He is the one that promised to you and I that whatever takes place in our life, that He is able to take those things and bring good out of it for His glory and for our good. Amen. Now, since God redeems every aspect of our lives and allows nothing to go to waste, what does He give to you and I? Because God is a God of generosity. He's a God that gives things to us. And what does He give to us? Well, number one, God gives us perspective of the past. He gives us a perspective of the past. Now, the passage in Romans 8 says that we know that God causes all things. Now, that word know is the Greek word oida, which means to perceive or to be aware of or to understand. And that is something that God gives to us as His children. In the Complete Word Dictionary, word study of the New Testament, it says that there are some things that human beings simply cannot know intuitively unless they become children of God. But as a child of God, God gives to us an awareness, an understanding, and a perception. Now, sometimes that does not come immediately, and sometimes that does not come for years. But God gives to us a knowledge that He is at work in our life, and He has been at work in our life, and He gives us a perspective of the past. Now, the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 1. Now, Paul wrote the letter to the Philippians from a jail cell, okay, as a prisoner of the Roman government. But Paul said this in Philippians chapter 1. He says, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Paul was able to look at his situation and not feel sorry for himself, not fall into despair, but he was able to look at his situation from this perspective that God had given to him, and he said that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. He goes on and says, "And as a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear." Paul experienced this perspective of the past that God gave to him. He was able to know. He was able to understand. He was able to have this spiritual perception. And maybe there are things that are going on in your life or have gone on in your life. Excuse me. Ask God for that spiritual perception because He is a God that gives that to us. He gives us understanding. Now, this September, I will have been married to the most wonderful woman in the world for 25 years. Okay? Now, I didn't share this last night, but I'm going to share it with you guys. Back in the late 70s, when I was a student at Biola College, it was Biola College at the time, I had to buy a book. And the title is All Originality Makes a Dull Church. Okay? And in this book, there's a chapter on the church in Fullerton, the First Evangelical Free Church of Fullerton. We're allowed to say Evangelical Free Church here, even though it's a Nazarene church, okay? So everything's cool. Don't, you know, nobody freak out or anything, okay? So All Originality Makes a Dull Church. And I had to read this book. I don't remember if I was a junior or a senior, but there was a chapter in here. I'm not going to read it to you, okay? So don't get nervous. That was kind of like a nervous little chuckle there, but this was on the First Evangelical Free Church, and I had to read this for my class, and it provided a history of that church. The Free Church in Fullerton is about 5,000 people. So I read the history and found out that there was an Evangelical Free Church in downtown Los Angeles that started the church in Fullerton back in the 50s. You know, I didn't know that. I didn't know there was a church in Los Angeles. Now, other thing I need to say is that I lived in Los Angeles. I'm a Los Angelino. That's why I'm brokenhearted about the Dodgers. Did I already say that? Anyway, let me move on here. Now, I was going to a church in downtown Los Angeles called Church of the Open Door. Now, please stay with me, okay? I'm moving ahead here. Believe me. So I attended this church in downtown Los Angeles, but there was a decision made by that church board that I was not a part of, that they were going to move from downtown Los Angeles out to Glendora. If you're familiar with Southern California, that's about 30 miles away, out towards the San Gabriel Valley Mountains, okay? So the church that I was attending was moving out of my neighborhood. Okay, well, what do you do? Well, I happen to remember that in this book that I read back in college, back in the 70s, this was in the early 80s, that I had read about a church in downtown Los Angeles. So this was on a Saturday, I guess, because I remember it was a Saturday. So I opened up the phone book, looked in the Yellow Pages, didn't have Google at the time, looked in the Yellow Pages, and found a phone number for the First Evangelical Free Church of downtown Los Angeles. This was a Saturday, called it up, thought, you know, might as well try. And there was somebody there. This was in 1983, okay, 1983. So I called up that church. They told me, well, the next day there was a service. They gave me the time, gave me directions, and I went. Okay? This was in February of 1983. You know, looked around at some other churches, went back in April, and in April of 1983, I met this wonderful woman over here. Okay? And a little less than 3 years after that, we were married. Okay? Now, a perspective of the past, okay? Now, you just thought I was just kind of rambling here and you're feeling sorry for me. Now, but the fact is this, though, is that as I look in my past, I see God's redemptive work. And I was disappointed that the church that I was going to, the church that I enjoyed going to, was moving out of my neighborhood. But God redeemed that situation in my life. He put it together from a book that was only $2.50 back in the late 70s. God used that purchase. God used that church moving out of my neighborhood to allow me to meet the most wonderful woman in the world and to have the two best sons in the world. God redeemed my situation for His glory and for my good. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, now I lost my place. Now, secondly, in addition to God giving to us a perspective of the past, God gives to you and I gifts for the present. Today, right now, God is causing all things to work together for our good. As we sit here in this place today, as we woke up, we got ready for church, we came here, we're sitting here right now. God is causing all things to work together for our good right now. In Psalm 103, it says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all His benefits." Now, the word benefits there is an idea of the good things that God gives to us. Now, listen to this wonderful list of these good things that God gives to us right now. It says that who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. These are the things that God gives to you and I right now today. It goes on and says that He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He knows how we are formed and remembers that we are dust. Now, today, right now, God is causing all things to work together for our good. God is redeeming every situation in our life right now today so that whatever is going on in your life, if you are suffering loss, if you are grieving right now, God is giving you comfort. If you're seeking direction, God is giving you wisdom. If you feel lonely and lost, God is offering to you His presence because God is giving you gifts today. Because He redeems every situation in our life, causing all things to work together for our good, God is giving us these wonderful gifts today. Now, in God giving us these gifts, Grant Osborne, in his commentary on Romans, says that good does not mean we will always get what we want. Rather, we will be given what is best for us. Because our Father in heaven is a wise Father. And sometimes I know for myself, you know, if there is something that is difficult or uncomfortable, I want to escape that. And yet God comes in the situation and gives to me exactly what I need because He loves me and I can trust Him. In Hebrews chapter 4, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." What God offers to you and I now on this day that He offers these good gifts to you and I, He invites us to come to His presence, the throne of grace that He sits upon, that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Gifts of mercy, gifts of grace, gifts of His love, because God loves you and I desperately. We do not understand how much God loves us. God desperately cares about us deeply. And so today, right now, we can receive those good things from God that He wants to give you and I. The Bible says that in this world, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. James, the writer of James, says that we will encounter various trials, trials of all different kinds. But our Lord offers things to you and I that we might be able to come into a situation, receive the good things, and see God's redemption in our life right now, today. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, I mentioned to you that I am married to the most wonderful woman in the world. I am absolutely blessed to be married to Mary Lamas, and I am very thankful for her. And when I was getting ready with the sermon, I asked her if she would come and share some thoughts on Romans chapter 8, 28, and share a testimony. And so I'd like you to welcome her. Because if you don't, I'm going to be upset with you, okay? So, okay, sweetie. Okay, let me. Okay, as close as you can. And project.
Thank you. Good morning. Romans 8:28 has always been my favorite verse. Well, that is ever since I accepted Jesus as my Savior while at college back in the 70s. It was comforting to know that even when circumstances were not good, God was still good. Last November, after a mammogram, followed by an ultrasound and then a biopsy, I received a call from my doctor. The test results indicated cancer, and I was more surprised than anything else, and more surprised than scared. I was expecting it to be maybe a cyst, or if nothing else, that the test might be discovering some problem I wasn't even aware of. And a friend who didn't understand why this was happening to me either later shared that her conversation with our Father God went like this: Mary? Really, God? Really? But there, Vince and I were sitting in our car, pulled into the AG High parking lot where we prayed. You know, sometimes we can't think straight in a crisis, much less remember to pray. John Bunyan, author of Pilgrim's Progress, which he wrote in prison, wrote that the best prayers are often more groans than words. And I am thankful that when I can't find the words to express myself, the Holy Spirit intercedes for me with groanings too deep for words. And he is able to pray for us in accord with God's will. These two verses can be found in Romans 8, right before my favorite verse. They fit together. For those of you doing the praying, may you never grow weary of it. And those who need prayer, allow others to pray for you. It can deeply encourage and sustain you. With Jesus as your Savior, you have God, His Word, and other believers to lift you up along the way. You are not alone. And to those who prayed and sent cards and provided meals for our family, thank you so much. I'm also thankful that our God is the God of all comfort, found in 2 Corinthians 1:3. Vince reminded me that God will communicate with us in a way we can understand. God speaks to me through music. That's one of the ways. One song which spoke to me is appropriately titled, "Lord, I Don't Know," by the Newsboys. And some of the lyrics are, "Lord, I don't know where all this is going or how it all works out. Lead me to peace that is past understanding, a peace beyond all doubt. O Lord, you are the author, redeeming what's been done. You hold me in the present and all that is to come." And he also speaks to me through the beauty of his creation, whether it's a sunrise or the stars or even the wind through the leaves in the tree. Those speak to me. And he spoke to me and gave me the promise of his presence through what I was going through in the form of rainbows. They just kept showing up. One followed us while driving home from Santa Maria. When we met in my nurse navigator's office, the sunlight shining through the window hit a crystal and projected a small rainbow onto Vince's hand. And he didn't notice it, but I did. Someone sent a card with a rainbow on it. The newspaper ran a photo of a double rainbow. On a drive up to San Luis, there was a huge one. And in Santa Maria, during a cloudburst, a rainbow appeared with the most beautiful, vivid colors I've ever seen. And to me, they all said, "I love you and I am with you." And musically, some days I wake up with a hymn or a song or a Bible verse in my head, and that is like a kiss from God. How does God speak to you? He created you. He knows your love language, those things that will speak directly to your heart. And where does God speak to you? Or where could he speak to you? Doing housework, those dishes, or in your car? During a round of golf, Or when you're looking in the fridge and have no idea what you want, Philip Yancey reminds us that God is always at work in our lives. We just need to remember to invite him into our day. We can live each day expectantly as we open our eyes, our ears, and our hearts to him. One of the verses which continues to give me assurance is Psalm 139:5. Thou hast enclosed me behind and before and laid thy hand upon me. It sounds like a protective bubble. The circumstances may not be good, but God faithfully promises to be with me in them. Psalm 3:3 also speaks to me. Thou, O Lord, art a shield about me. You're my glory. You're the lifter of my head. The creator of the universe is my shield, my protector. And this is also a song which helped me memorize it more easily. These verses are both from the Psalms. David, a man after God's own heart, knew that his God was approachable and that he could share anything and everything with his creator. Then he wrote them down so that today we can be strengthened and encouraged by them. And his words made their way into my journal back in 2003. I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. That's Psalm 121. And my journal entry. I'm looking back at the verse on the preceding page. It originally came to me while walking up the hill behind our house. The hills in the distance were quite majestic. The verse so fit the scenery at that moment. On March 13th, Mom had a stroke. I think the verse was given to me beforehand in a very literal, visual way to help strengthen me. I now pray this verse for Mom. Keeping a journal allows you to write down both the good and the bad experiences and what God is teaching you through them. He will bring things back to you, touch points, to remind you that he is active and available in your life. In the book of Luke, we read of Jesus' birth with the angels singing praises and the shepherds worshiping the newborn Savior. His mother Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. When he was 12, Jesus went missing in Jerusalem, only to be found teaching in the temple. Here also, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. These memories which she pondered and treasured could later help sustain her. As Jesus went to his death on the cross, her heart would be breaking, but she had learned about the faithfulness of God. She had stored those memories in a safe place. Her heart. Sometimes we are so caught up in the heaviness of the moment, we can forget all about God's faithfulness. How do I know that God is faithful? Because it's in God's word, and it's in my journal, and ultimately, it finds a home in my heart where it's never lost. I'm constantly invited to revisit his faithfulness. His promises truly are written on the tablet of my heart. And it's never too late to start writing his promises on the tablet of your heart. Remember that you may change, circumstances may change, but God, he stays the same. Psalm 46:1 calls him a constant help in time of trouble. Casper Ten Boom shared the following with his daughter Corey when she was very young, and it helped to sustain her when she was a prisoner in a German concentration camp. And that's dramatized in the movie The Hiding Place. And here's what he told her. When Jesus takes your hand, he keeps you tight. When Jesus keeps you tight, he leads you through life. And when Jesus leads you through life, he brings you safely home. My prognosis is good. I've had my surgery, my physical therapy, and my radiation treatments. But why wasn't I spared from this experience? I don't know. And I might never know in my lifetime here on earth. Don Baker wrote in Pain's Hidden Purpose, "If there is anything a sufferer needs, it is not an explanation, but a fresh new look at God." Sometimes I need a fresh new look at God. Do you need one too? Take time to ask him, and he will show you wonderful new glimpses. May you truly comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height of his love. I'd like to end with Psalm 100 verse 5. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. May you truly experience how good and how loving our God is, and may you discover all the ways he's been faithful to you in the past, the present, and the future. Thank you.
Well, God gives to us, as he redeems every situation in our life, he gives us a perspective of the past, he gives us gifts for the present, and he also, thirdly, gives us hope for the future, hope for the future. Romans chapter 8 and 29 talks about to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, to become conformed to the image of his Son. God's work in our life is purposeful. God's work in Mary's life, in my life, in your life, it's a purposeful work. And even though life may seem at times crazy or haphazard or even out of control, would you know by faith today that God is in control, that he is working, that he gives us hope for the future? Chuck Swindoll, in his book Insights on Romans, speaks of Christian hope as this: that it's an assured expectation based on a promise of God, because God always keeps his promises. Amen?
Amen?
We have a guaranteed future that awaits us. Therefore, we can endure trials with joy and peace. Our believing will keep us moving when we might otherwise become discouraged and quit. Because God gives us a hope for the future, we can keep moving ahead with the Lord in faith. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, let's read this together. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." And as Pastor Kevin mentioned a little bit ago during our time of worship and singing, maybe you're in a dark place today. And even though you are struggling, you're here. And God invites us to come to him by faith, to trust him, that he is going to keep his word, even though, looking at all the situation in your life, the challenges that you're facing, where you find yourself today, that you trust him, and that honors the Lord. It is amazing to me how much God values our faith in him. God keeps his promises. Again, Chuck Swindoll, in Insight on Romans, he says, "When the Lord restores his universe, it will be even better than his original design. And his restoration begins with people. To accomplish his plan in each of us, he orchestrates all things, including disease, disaster, death, and decay. The world's destructive designs then become tools in the hand of the Almighty, who will turn them to accomplish his good." Does this mean that all things in the world are good? Clearly they are not. The world is unfair, brutal, shocking, and demoralizing, and it includes people who relentlessly oppose God's created order. Nevertheless, as evil tries to destroy, the Lord turns the world's destruction into our gain. If God uses evil for his purposes, does this mean he brings evil on his people? Never. God is not the author of sin. Only good things come from God. And because good things come from God, you and I have a hope for the future. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 30, Paul says, "And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." Now, in that verse, there are several important terms. And we're not going to look at all of them. We're just going to look at that last phrase, glorified. Because there is one day in our future where we will be glorified. Glorification speaks that at Christ's coming, the glory of God, his honor, his praise, his majesty, and his holiness will be revealed in us fully. And that is our future. We have a future where there will be no more tears, no more death, no more mourning, no more crying, no more pain, because there is hope that Jesus Christ offers to you and I. And in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6 is a great passage because it speaks to God's redemption in our past, in our present, and in our future. And it says this, where Paul says, "That I am certain that God, who began the good work within you," speaking of our past, "will continue his work in our present until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns," our future. And that is what you and I have, because God redeems every situation in our life for his glory and for our good. God will keep his promise to each of us. What God says is to come to him, to trust him, because he loves us so desperately. Mary mentioned Corrie Ten Boom. And maybe some of you are not familiar with her. She wrote the book, The Hiding Place. She was a Dutch Christian who was a prisoner of the Nazis during World War II because her family hid and protected Jews. But she wrote this in the book, In My Father's House. She says this, "So many times we wonder why God has certain things happen to us. We try to understand the circumstances of our lives, and we are left wondering. But God's foolishness is so much wiser than our wisdom. From generation to generation, from small beginnings and little lessons, he has a purpose for those who know and trust him. God has no problems." What God offers is redemption to you and I. And so that whatever is going on in your life today, I pray that you would have that confidence as well, that you would have a greater awareness and understanding that God is causing all things to work together for your good, for his glory, but for your good. Our God loves us so much, and he is trustworthy. And this promise that he has made in his word, God is going to keep it. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. And as we prepare for communion this morning, let's pray and prepare our hearts to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Those helping with communion, if you would come forward, please. And let's pray. Precious Lord Jesus, we come into your presence this morning, Lord God, thanking you that you, Lord, are a strong, powerful, loving God. And Lord, you will not allow anything to go to waste in our lives. But you will redeem every situation, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that in this time of communion, Lord Jesus, that you, by your love, by your grace, Lord, by your mercy, that you would reveal to each of us in this time as we hold the bread and the cup, Lord God, would you reveal to us to a greater measure of the great love that you have for us. Lord Jesus, now we commit this time to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.